The Undersized Basketball Podcast, talking hoops from coast to coast.
Welcome to week 12 of the Undersized Basketball Podcast, covering the BBL. This week we had the chance to catch up with GB basketball captain and member of Leicester Riders, Drew Sullivan, to talk British Basketball League and some of the issues around the league that he wanted to address with the fans. So have a listen and let us know what you think. Our Twitter is at Tub Podcast, and our Facebook is the Undersized Basketball Podcast. We're joined today by Leicester Riders basketball player Drew Sullivan. Thanks for checking in with Tub Podcast today.
Yeah, it's not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Just yesterday it was announced that there was new funding announcements from Sport England in relation to basketball, and they've decided that they're going to bypass England basketball and go through other routes with their funding. How successful do you think that can be, and do you think that's a good move from Sport England?
From a player, from a fan, from someone who supports the sport, I can trust that whatever decision made with regards to funding is the right decision. For me, the most important thing is that the sport is continued to receive money or investment from various companies or various pots of money. I don't know enough about the situation why it hasn't gone through England basketball, but I have to trust that people who made those decisions are doing it off of a lot of research, and they feel that they make the best decision for the sport. So with that being said, I'm pretty supportive of whatever decision is made.
Okay, and obviously you guys won the cup final a couple of weekends back, so firstly, congratulations on that win.
Thank you very much.
In terms of coming into that fourth quarter as one of the more experienced players on the Riders, did you know you had to step up at that point, or did it just happen?
No, it's not one of those things where you fix yourself wrong. If I had to step up, it was a situation where the opportunity presented itself, and I made a conscious effort that I was going to try and push back in the game, and there's been other guys who have done it since I played my basketball career, and on Sunday or on 12th was just happened to be my opportunity. I think a lot of people have made like a huge deal about my part to play in it, but they went out that overshadow, Jorge hitting a three and hitting foul shots, and Jay making foul shots, and Anthony Rowe getting defensive rebounds on the opposite end. Regardless of the little spurt that I had, it's not possible without other guys making plays. So I think while my performance may have overshadowed some of the things that they did, I think that it would be really wrong to take away from what their contribution to the game.
Okay, and coming off of that cup final win, you had a bit of a tough weekend the following weekend. Was that anything to do with the cup final win, or was that just a poor weekend for the Riders?
I think it's actually more than anything, it was a testament to the organization and how hard they've worked. Because, I remember years back where the Riders would have lost two games in a weekend and nobody would have batted an eye. It wasn't a big deal. Anyone outside of the organization would be like, "Well, it's just not newsworthy." I think that the fact that we've lost two games in the weekend and everyone talking about us being in meltdown and it's a crisis and this, that, and we're not as good as what we think we are, they actually paying us a compliment more than anything else. They're paying a compliment to the guys in this team. They're paying a compliment to Robin Russell and Kevin Rutledge for working tirelessly to put together a team that gets scrutinized. Criticize bad teams. You just expect it. Bad teams lose back to back games. When you're a good team and you lose to back to back games, anything that is newsworthy. So, you know, I think that it has to be, we have to look at it as a credit to the club, and it shows that the organisation is going in the right direction.
Okay, and do you think after that cup final win that the Riders now have a bigger target on their back for other teams, that they now want to go up against the Riders and challenge them?
I think the target's been on our best all season. You know, I think that the that we had from last season put a huge target on our backs. You know, I think the success that we had 2 seasons ago, even though the club didn't win any trophies, I think it put, you know, a little bit of a target on our backs going into last season. And then we were able to carry on, and by the end of last season, we had a massive target on our backs. You know, so it's always going to be there. Like, we want people's best shot. I mean, you know, just from the fact that, from a personal standpoint, I want everyone to come in and play their best against me, because I want to play against the people's best. I don't want to play against teams that are going to roll over. You know, so if it means that we've got to come back, and that means teams are going to play us harder than they play against other teams, then, you know, from a personal standpoint and from a competitor, I more than welcome it.
Okay, and obviously at Leicester, at the cup final, you definitely had a great fan base there supporting you. You just wanted to address an issue with fans talking about players, sort of personal issues on social media and at games. Is that an issue?
You know, I've been exposed to it on a few occasions, but, you know, I remember once I was in service when I was playing in Mersey, and obviously going back to Newcastle, and I had a fan make derogatory comments towards my family, my kids, my partner, the female members in my family, which I did mention to the owners of the Riders who I know very well. More recently, I've had more comments on social media, you know, like the forums and stuff with regards to my kids. And it's just like, you know, I went to Twitter just to make it clear that, you know, first and foremost, when you pay to go to a sport event, you're there, like at the movies. You go and you're there to watch and observe.
Yeah.
That's what you pay for. You don't pay to go to flag flip people off or talk bad about them or whatever. Yeah. If you want to do that, that's fine. No problem with it. I have literally no issue with someone coming to a game and leaving and say Drew was god awful. I have no issues with that.
Yeah.
But the line has to stop when people decide that they're going to go that little bit extra and bring people's families into it.
Okay, and you think...
I'm fiercely protective of my family, and it upsets me when people who go onto like social media under fake names or behind these names that you don't know who they are and are able to or think that it's okay to flag people's families off.
Okay.
You know, my family don't play basketball. There's nobody in my family that play basketball. None of my kids do, my father doesn't. So to criticize them for maybe my shortcomings on the court is I think is probably the lowest of the low in sport.
Yeah.
And I refer to those people as keyboard warriors. You know, if you want to talk bad about me or bad about my family, put your real name up.
Yeah.
You know, so at least I can address you face to face. You know, I put myself out there. I don't go on anything under a fake name. I put my name out there for everyone to see. If I got something to say about something, you know, nobody has to guess if it's me or someone else. You know, it says Drew Sullivan.
Okay, and is that something you think the league has to lock down on, is that fans can criticise professionals on their professional game, but it has to stop when it's becoming personal?
Yeah, if I want to say, like I said, if I have a bad game, I get criticised even when I have a good game. So
yeah.
That's fine. I haven't got an issue with that. But again, I repeat what I said. My family do not play basketball. They do not play any sports, professional or otherwise. So to bring them into the equation is out of order. Yeah. You know? And, you know, I've been criticized for everything from maybe the way I play. I've been criticized for not signing autographs after a game. You know, but, and it's the same people who they think, because they don't watch your basketball game for 40 minutes, they know you as a person.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't, because I'm not someone who goes out and, like, toots my own horn like some other players in this league, I go about my business very quietly and very privately.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot that I try and do for basketball in this country. You know, and it goes way beyond simply signing a piece of paper to some kid who may or may not keep it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more than happy to sit down and socialize with people, young basketball players. You know, but I think a lot of, and the issue isn't even the kids, it's the parents most of the time. You know, it's like, if there's no parent that can tell me that every day they come in from work when they've had a hard day, that they sit down and they're like chipper straight away with their kids. Sometimes they say, just give me 5 minutes to wind down.
Yeah.
You know, and that's their kids. That's what they say to their kids. So what do they expect from someone? I might play a game, whether we win or lose, literally leaving everything out on the court to try and win. You know, sometimes you just really want to go back to the locker room and give yourself 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, if there's someone who wants to stay, if there's someone who's there after the game, like after they've showered and come out, I find as many autographs as they want, as many autographs those kids want.
Yeah.
You know, like, my thing is, when I come off the court or whatever, if I might not sign an autograph, because there's one thing that I don't want kids to see me upset. You know, I want to be able to sign that kid's autograph with a smile on my face.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that right there and then I'm going to be able to do that. So I feel like I should have or could be given the same 5 minutes that a parent would ask their kid at home as what I do in my job.
Yeah.
You know? So I can present myself to that young person in the best possible light,
Okay, and that choice to play in the BBL, you've obviously played for quite a few years now. Is that to do with the family issue of having your family here in the UK? Because some players have obviously said that you've got the skill set to play in some of the best leagues in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, it is a little bit of it. Also, a little bit of it is that, you know, I played in quite a few places where you go, you play, you work as hard as you possibly can, and then the club tells you that, we don't have any money to pay you this month, or we don't have any money to pay you at all,
yeah.
Or the club's gone bust. You know, I've had multiple, more than one place where I've gone and I've not received, you know, 50% of the wage that I felt like I was supposed to get. So as well as obviously being close to my family, one of the big reasons is, well, you know, being able to support my family.
Yeah.
And maybe I will get a lot less money from playing here in the BBL, but more often than not, outside of the one instance of Mersey, I get all my money on time.
Yeah.
You know, and that makes, you know, getting 100% of a little bit is a lot better than getting, you know, 0% of a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but, you know, as well as that, you know, I think the stuff that I do off court, you know, from my standpoint, it's usually important. Like, again, we go back to, apparently I've been criticized for not doing anything for the sport in this country, which is, for me, almost laughable. You know, I myself and Russell ran, we run a DSA stuff. And last year we did it for practically free for some of the more talented players that are still residing in this country.
Yeah.
You know, so that's hugely important to me as well. And that's one of the reasons why I made a decision that I want to stay in this country, because I know that I can have a lot more, have a huge influence on what's going on in terms of, like, young players in this country if I'm here every day.
Yeah.
you know, so I can see the landscape, so I can sit down and have conversations with, you know, the heads of EB or the heads of GB or whatever, whenever I want, opposed to saying, okay, let's try and pencil in a day, which may or may not happen.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, and in terms of British basketball, you obviously, there was a part where you weren't going to play for Britain last year before the Eurobasket, but then ended up playing. With the guys like Devin Van Oostrum and Andrew Lawrence coming through the GB program now, do you think it's those guys that will be able to take British basketball forward in the coming years towards other Olympic qualification and other Eurobasket competitions?
Yes, most definitely. I mean, you know, I always knew how good Devin was and how good Andrew Lawrence was, but, you know, for me, having an opportunity to play and be around like someone like Miles and how, you know, how easy he looked, or he made it look for his first time at a major tournament. You leave there and you should say to yourself, you know what, basketball in this country is better than it's ever been. You know,
yeah.
And maybe not everybody appreciates that fact, but you know, as being like one of the guys who've been with the national team for so long, you know, I've got a bit of a unique viewing point. You know, as obviously being an older player, you know, but still out there playing, you know, a decent amount of minutes and competing with these guys. You know, and you think to yourself, well, if you start mixing people in like Devin, Andrew, Miles, you know, Ogo, Justin, with what we can potentially put in the court with Joel, Noel, you know, who knows if Ben ever decides that he's going to play, or Chris Mullin, Brian Mullin ever decided they want to play. But when you start putting those kind of groups of people together, you know, there's no reason why the national team can't kick on and start competing for medal spots.
Yeah. And we spoke to Joel Freeland earlier in the NBA season, and he's obviously established himself as one of the a player in the NBA now. He spoke about how he missed the sort of banter with yourself and the guys like Kieran Akara on the GB squad this summer. How much did you miss the guys like Luol and Joel this summer at Eurobasket?
You know, like, this is the part that, like, a lot of fans don't see, like, the behind the closed doors things, like, you know, us hanging out and like making fun of each other,
yeah.
And like playing tricks on each other, you know, I mean, like, you know, Luol's probably the biggest prankster on the team, him and Pops, you know, but they give as good as they get. They, you know, they actually enjoy being around us, regardless of where you play or how much you make. When we're together, it's a bunch of guys who enjoy each other's company,
yeah.
Who happen to play basketball as well.
Okay,
and that's really how it is. You know,
yeah.
We don't sit there. We don't always have to be sat down talking about basketball. You don't always, you know, have to be like sitting down watching game tape or analyzing like another team. There's times where we sit down and we'll sit down and play cards, or we'll sit down and talk about like, you know, how each other's lives are going and stuff like that. And those are the things that. I'm certainly going to miss once I'm retired from the national team. Yeah. You know, the basketball is what you expect because you represent your country at basketball. You know that's what you're going to be guaranteed. But there's the other things that come along with it. That are the things that will last in my memory.
Okay, and with the Drew Sullivan sort of branded camps with the talented athletes like Jamel Anderson and the guys, how important is it for guys like Jamal, who you play with, obviously for the Riders, to try and boost their confidence and get them into the GB program?
I mean, you know, this new coach, new Joel, he's more than happy to give anyone a chance. You know, so these younger guys have to understand that if they get invited to camp, it's because of what they've shown and what they've done.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but it doesn't stop there. That's quite literally the beginning of us. You know, I think Miles understood that, and that's why he had such a good summer. You know, people like Jamel has to understand that, you know, it's not just about being invited to GB camp and saying, oh yeah, I was there. It's about being it year after year after year.
Yeah.
It doesn't always mean that you're going to get make the squad or make the team or have you, but the more you're invited, the more you're around that environment, it rubs off on you, and you do want it more. You want to make sure that you're there, and it has one of those effects on you that you don't even realize, but you start working even harder because you're like, I want to be back next summer. I want to be back after the summer after that. And then all of a sudden, if you're able to keep up a certain level of consistency, then one day it might just be an injury, whether you outplay someone, and all of a sudden the coach is like, well, you made the cut, you know?
Yeah.
And for the people who haven't yet been invited and they think that they should be invited, well, it's for them to prove Joe wrong.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I can really appreciate about Joe, he'll be the first person to tell you that if he made a mistake. You know, and if there's someone out there who should have been invited and hasn't, it's for them to say, you know what, I'm gonna make a point of getting there, and then, you know, then you can be like, yeah, I've been waiting for this invite, you know. Joel's happy to say, you know what, maybe I overlooked you, but we're happy that you're here now. So.
And is that sort of effort, is that something maybe we can see in Gareth Murray, who was sort of made reserve for one of the friendlies and then managed to work his way into the starting five for the first game of Euro?
You know, the thing is, like, probably my own fault, but sometimes you kind of get, like, drawn into it and you see, like, especially like on Twitter, you see people make comments about players and whether they say that they're a good player or they're not a good player or what have you. And it's like, how can you say someone who makes their national team not a good player?
Yeah.
How can you possibly say that? You know, like, it's probably one of the most moronic things that someone can actually say. He's not a good player, but I thought you made his national team. Yeah, he did. Well, how can he not be a good player? Because guess what? There were some pretty damn good players on that national team last summer, regardless of whether people want to admit it or not. Some of them were young. Yeah, granted. But there were some good players on that team. You know, maybe the question is, obviously, would he have made it with like Noel being there and Joel and so on? I don't know. Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But to criticize, I've seen he gets criticized so much, and to be honest with you, I thought he was a pretty decent player before he made the national team.
Yeah.
But since he's made the national team, I've seen like his confidence go up so much.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him become an even better player than what he was initially. You know, and nobody can take credit for that more than himself. You know, he came to camp. He didn't make the car. He and I, we had a little bit of a chat after when he was leaving. Then he was right back in there. You know, there was an injury. He got called back in, and then for two or three games in the Euro basket, he started.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, he wasn't very good because he couldn't. You know, he struggled to guard Omar Kasby, or he wasn't very good. He struggled to guard Nicholas Batum.
Yeah.
The two names that he's having to go up against,
yeah.
You know, they're NBA players. You know, probably it would have been more surprising if you went out there and shut them down to the tune of 3 or 4 points. You know, that would have been more surprising. But he's playing against great players. Of course, he's going to struggle a little bit, but it doesn't mean that he's a bad player.
And going forwards for the next half of the BBL season, and then obviously into the postseason with GB, are you going to be involved with the GB program this year, if you can be?
I hope to be.
Yeah.
You know, myself and Joel, we spoke while he was over here. I told him that, you know, I'd like to be. I'm available if he wants me, you know. He said to me that, you know, as far as he's concerned, that like I'm definitely in his thoughts. You know, obviously there's a lot of things that can happen between now and the summer, you know, in terms of like, you know, from a physical standpoint, injuries, people have, like, obviously things can crop up. But I think after the chat I had with him, I feel comfortable that I'm in his plans, and that I'll be given every opportunity, like all the other guys who will be invited to camp. So, and that's for me, that's all I asked for. I've never asked for minutes. I've never asked for a spot on the team. All I've asked is to give me the opportunity to work for it. So, and that's what he's put on the table. So I'm happy with that.
Okay, and for the Riders, this sort of rest of the season, you've got the cup now, you're out of the trophy. What are the aims for Leicester?
From my standpoint, is, you know, we got to just keep on chugging on. You know, like, I don't think that this past weekend is going to have teams say, oh, well, they're not as good as what we thought they were, so we're going to take it easy on them. I still expect everyone's best shot. I feel like we're still, you know, the team that has two more trophies that everybody else won. Obviously, Sheffield had won the trophy last year, and we won the league, and we won the playoffs. And, you know, and until those are taken away from us, we're still the league champion, and we're still the playoffs champion, and we have to go out and perform as such.
Okay. Well, thanks for your time today with Tab Podcast, and covering those issues that you wanted to address. So thanks for your time, and good luck with the rest of the season.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thank you. Thanks to Drew Sullivan for his time today at Tab Podcast. He covered a fair amount of issues in the podcast this week, so we'd like to know your thoughts on what he had to say. You can follow us on Twitter at Tab Podcast and like us on Facebook, The Undersized Basketball Podcast. Until next weekend, enjoy all the BBL action this week,